Anybody notice all the places, all restaurants were closed Sunday? What the hell was that about?
What's up with that?
99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. I mean, the 4th of July weekend was over.
Yeah.
Like, why were all the pizza places closed? Not all of them, but a lot of them were closed.
Why?
On Sunday.
Anyway.
Did everyone take this week? Was it like, because most people are not in town, people are getting back in?
Maybe. The floods, maybe. The dough is wet.
Let's ask the pizza guy, Anthony Falco. What the hell, Anthony? What's going on?
What's up?
Why are all these pizza places closed?
On Sunday, why were the pizza places closed?
Yeah, this Sunday. Places that are normally open on Sunday were closed this past Sunday.
Oh, the Italy game. Italy-England Euro Cup final.
The big soccer game.
That's probably it, actually.
They all wanted to watch the soccer
the
game.
The Euro Cup. Italy won, by the way, so probably Monday they were closed, too, because they were hungover.
That makes sense.
Exactly.
That makes sense.
You know, I actually thought that that would be one of the dumbest questions I asked today when I asked you that, and it turns out it wasn't dumb.
Not at all. No.
There's an answer.
That makes sense.
Like, I don't know. What's your problem?
Right. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. No, it was. I was making pizza, you know, so I don't know. I did. We finished right when the game started, so...
Smart.
Made the pizza first, then closed. That's the, you know, get the pizza in the pizza lover's hands, let them watch the game,
right,
and then you can watch the game, shut it down.
Anthony Falco is an international pizza consultant, loves New Haven Pizza, flies all over the world, helping restaurants start or consulting or whatever.
Yes.
Are people as crazy about pizza all over the world as we are here in New Haven?
I mean, you know, it's a varying degree, but yeah, it's a global phenomenon. I just actually just got back from Istanbul, Turkey, so I was helping open a pizza place there.
That has to be gross. The pizza there, right? Like, they don't even know what it is.
Oh, the food is fantastic.
Really?
The food is fantastic.
No, but the pizza.
Right.
Well, like, I didn't really eat much. I didn't really eat much pizza.
I did
local cuisine, and you know they do have things. They have this dish that's distantly related to pizza called lamajun, and so it's a flatbread, and they put chopped meat, lamb, and beef, and tomatoes on it, and onions, and there's herbs, and then they cook it in a wood fired oven, very thin, very crispy.
Oh wow.
No cheese.
They pull it up.
They love the flatbreads over there.
They do.
No cheese. Yeah. No, man. The food there is incredible. And it's a bread culture for sure. You know, and it's a Mediterranean culture. So the ingredients were incredible. I used all Turkish ingredients, olive oil, sea salt, flour, the cheeses. They had local bufala mozzarella, which was incredible.
I love that.
Yeah. Local tomatoes. The farmers markets were great. It was really, honestly, one of the highlights of my career. Just an incredible place.
Wow.
Yeah, and the clients were amazing. The place is going to be called Jusina. It's going to open on August 1st. If you're in Istanbul, go check it out.
Okay, I'll get right on that.
Let me write that down my schedule here. Go to Istanbul.
That's weird to me that the international pizza consultant goes to a place not known for pizza and says it's one of his best trips ever.
I mean, I'm a history nerd personally. So, you know, I was able to see something that was on my lifetime list of things to see, which is the Hagia Sophia, which is a 1600 year old. It was a church. Now it's a mosque. It was a museum. Now it's a mosque again. The structure itself is just, it's an incredible, you know, it's from the, from when Istanbul was Constantinople. And
they wrote a song about that.
They did.
I heard a Turkish version of that song.
Did Abba do it? No.
Wait, what song?
Istanbul was Constantinople. Yeah. Now it's Istanbul, not Constantinople.
You have to bang the camera.
I was keeping time.
Poorly.
Yeah, really.
play that. Pull that one up next.
What song is that?
Sounded more like she was flattening a turkey breast or something.
Sounded like, or doing like, you know, the chest compression. Istanbul is not Constantinople. Istanbul.
That's going to be stuck in my head. Who does that?
I don't know.
They've got incredible spice markets, and so I went there and I loaded up on all kinds of spices, sumac and Aleppo pepper and
I had poison sumac.
Very, very different, Aiden.
Yeah. That was very itchy.
It's penicillin.
You don't eat that one.
Boy, you should do a food show now. Like, a lot of people do food shows. You should do one.
I've talked to people about it. Yeah, I mean, I shot a pilot. Yeah, I shot a pilot in Mexico City. The idea we were going to do the history of pizza, and we were going to start though not in Italy but in Mexico.
Why?
Because you can't have pizza without the contribution of the indigenous Mexican farmers who gave us tomatoes.
Ah, look at that! See.
Yeah, and then go to Turkey and discover the history of wheat, because the genetic origin of wheat is in eastern Turkey. That's where all wheat around the world originated.
Hold on, do people want to see this, or do we want to see you make pizza in different places around the world?
Cool.
Do I want the history of wheat?
Both.
Well, what if you could get the best wheat on the planet from where it started with the best tomato on the planet and put them together onto one pie? That'd be pretty special.
No, but see what I'm saying, Anthony, you're limiting your audience, right? Everybody loves pizza.
Right.
Show us, this pizza place in Portland is great, and we're going to go in and talk about the history of this place. Or do I want us to, like, you know, let's grow wheat.
Right. I want to see Egyptian writing and then, like, you know, harvesting wheat.
Right. Yeah, no, I mean, look.
If we look at this cave drawing over here, we'll see that Prague actually found wheat.
Right. Yeah. It's like, you're making pizza boring.
yeah, exactly. The pizza is going to be the hook for me to teach you about history. You know,
no, but I don't want to know.
I hated that class in school.
Yeah, you have a good personality and a vast knowledge of it. Why wouldn't you just go to like famous pizza places around the world?
You know, like in Istanbul or Constantinople.
I don't know. I think that show's been done. You're probably right.
You're looking for a different hook,
right?
Yeah, I mean, I want to talk about, like, you know, how ingredients moved around the world and kind of, like, things that people don't know. I mean, it's not necessarily everybody knows that tomatoes come from Mexico. I think a lot of people associate
I didn't know that until you just said it. I just learned that. I've learned a couple of things today in this short period of time.
I know avocados in Mexico. Avocados in Mexico.
We go to India. Actually, that's one of my next trips coming up in November. I'll be going to India. And that's where, you know, the water buffalo originated, and that's where buffalo mozzarella comes from. Somehow they got from India to Italy, and so you don't really have mozzarella without the contribution of India.
Do they milk
buffalo?
You don't have
tomatoes without...
That's a good question.
I've seen it. When I went to a buffalo mozzarella factory in Brazil, in Jaú, Brazil, and they play classical music for the buffalo when they milk them.
Squirt, 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 squirt.
Like
Mozart? Candle, you know, something calming, chilling. It apparently makes the milk taste better.
Wow. This is high-level stuff.
Right.
Yeah, man. I mean, but, you know, here's the thing. The show would be cool. But I do this already without having to deal with the camera crew and all that other getting mic'd up.
You gotta feed
them. Stuff, you know?
That's the problem because someone would. You have to feed them. You would. The network or whoever produced the show would screw it up on you.
They would.
Yeah, sure. Well, they would. They would be like, they'd say the same thing you did. This is nerdy. No one wants to hear about it.
You can learn.
That's true. You are. You know, instead of talking to everyone, you're talking to like 1% of the high-level players.
The history of what you eat.
Yeah, you're talking to the chefs of the world.
Right.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Is let me ask you something. You know, and I'm not going to rain on your dream more.
Please do.
Yeah, feel good part.
I love Anthony. And by the way, his book, we got one copy of it. Everybody on the show and everybody in the building wants it. I had to fight my way out the door to get the book out of the building.
I ran block for you.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Definitely, we got to get you guys some more copies.
Oh, and Pizza Czar Recipes and Know-How from a World Traveling Pizza Chef is on Amazon, and we're linked up on the radio station website.
Yeah.
All right, back to the rain.
But now this, the wheat,
doing great, by the way.
Tomatoes, and the cheese. Like, wouldn't that just be, like, one episode, like, all three? Like, do I have to watch an entire episode of, like, this is where tomatoes came from?
The tomato episode.
Well, there's, you know, I mean, what we would do too is go to, you know, local pizza places. Like there's a great pizza place in Mexico City called Pizza Feliz. And my friend Miwi, she owns it. She's pizza an incredible heavy. Chef.
Right.
Yeah, basically.
Pizza.
And they, you know, I made pizza there. We used all Mexican flour, Mexican sea salt, olive oil, another country where you can actually get everything you need.
Oh, this is interesting. All right. I'm interested in that.
Do you want to order the Montezuma's Revenge, by the way?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And we went to Central de Abastos, which is the largest market in the world. And you have every kind of fruit and vegetable. We had, they have, you know, some chapulines for sale, which is like a grasshopper that they salt and lime, and we ate that. It was pretty delicious, a little snack in the morning there.
This is starting to sound like what got us into trouble 2 years ago.
What are you, a frog?
I've eaten frogs. They're pretty delicious, too.
I'm out.
Slimy.
If someone else eats it, I'm going to give it a chance. You know?
Really?
Have you eaten cicadas? Sure.
Someone asked me about the cicada pizza thing. No, I haven't had cicadas. I've had grubs. I've had ants. I've had grasshoppers. I had gold-plated ants when I was in Brazil. That was interesting.
Fancy.
I feel like they come out like corn. They come out just as they went in.
Pop, pop, pop.
Yeah. Rice Krispies. These particular ants tasted like lemongrass. But,
oh, that's cool.
You know, yeah, it was like a specific ant from the rainforest.
I got a spider in my house. You want to eat it?
Anthony Falco is on. And I'll tell you what kind of a pizza expert this guy is.
Okay.
He is the keynote speaker at the International Pizza Expo in Vegas in August.
Oh.
Okay,
the
so
honor.
When you're having an International Pizza Expo and you're looking for a keynote speaker, you don't say, let's get Jimmy down the street who makes the pizza on the weekends.
Get me,
Jimmy!
Falco.
No, you got the top person.
Right.
So this is the top person on the planet. So congratulations on that.
Your Eminence.
Thanks, yeah. It's a big honor, and I hope to write the speech soon because it's coming up. So I got to get on that.
Open a song.
The Istanbul Constantinople song.
No, no.
Yeah. What do you think you're going to say? Have you worked out any of the thoughts yet?
You know, I want to dive into, when I have that captive audience, I want to dive into some of that nerdy stuff and talk about, like, the origins of wheat and tomato.
You're
and,
basically going to do the thought of your television show.
They want a pizza
meat. Yeah, basically. Yeah, exactly. I want to do that.
I didn't know tomatoes were from Mexico.
I had no idea.
I learned that 10 minutes ago with you.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Great.
I want to spread that knowledge. You know, they deserve a lot of credit. You got tomatoes, chilies.
Well, where did the tomato come from? Is this a combination of two plants?
They got on one day.
So it was a very small. Its origin genetically is from the Andes Mountains somewhere around Peru, but they never really cultivated the wild version. Somehow, it made its way to central Mexico, where they started crossbreeding it. It was a tiny little cherry kind of looking thing. And they started breeding it to make it bigger and bigger and juicier. And, you know, there's a huge variety that has grown there, you know, as well as the tomatillo, which I think most people know comes from Mexico. But
well, the name, you know.
So, yeah. So so the word tomato is actually comes from a Nahuatl word, which is the language of the Aztec Empire. And, you know, it means like big, juicy fruit or something like that.
Right.
But, they, you know, just like all farmers, I mean, like corn, you know, like a lot of these things that we eat have been genetically modified in the natural way by farmers for years and years, crossbreeding to make them, you know, produce more fruit or produce more food. So, you know, it's to me, food history is completely fascinating, the way the ingredients have moved around the world and the way that farmers, you know, have modified them. I come from a family of farmers, and you know, I think I try to highlight what their work and what they do, because I think they're really the backbone of any chef, and really the backbone of the country are the farmers.
And so, then wheat came from
Eastern Turkey, kind of near the mountains near the border of Syria.
Huh.
You know, and so the very first writing in the world was Sumerian cuneiform, and what were they writing? They were basically writing, how much wheat do we have? Whose wheat is it? And, like, how much wheat do you owe me? Or you know, how much wheat are you going to pay for your taxes?
Yeah, it says right here, I have a turkey on wheat.
Yeah.
Mozzarella came from India. So if you were to ask me before you came on, like, whatever, minutes ago, you know, name the three ingredients that make up pizza and where they're from, I'd say, I don't know, tomatoes, Italy, wheat,
Italy?
I don't know, somewhere around Italy, and then mozzarella.
Brooklyn. Italy.
I'd say Italy,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, Brooklyn.
Yeah, well, interesting. Italy's PR program is running pretty good. The only thing that's really actually originated from the area of Italy is the olives. That goes in the olive oil. So that would be the end episode of my show.
Oh, wow.
You know, is like, then we talk about the one thing that's really native to that area and the olives. And, you know, I mean, olive oil is absolutely crucial to all of Mediterranean
everything.
Society.
And Popeye, yeah.
Italy's like the polishing planet. It's where everything goes to find its most perfect form at the end.
One of the things that we learned over the years being in New Haven is that a lot of these great pizza places that are known around the world started in the Depression, and they were bakeries who figured out, put some sauce on the bread,
right,
and then, you know, one thing leads to another. The next thing you know, they're making pizza.
Don't waste the
dough.
Was
there pizza before the Depression?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, they were making pizza in Naples, you know, for, I mean, they first started really eating the tomato in the 15th, 16th century when it came over and the Spanish brought it over from Mexico. And, you know, I mean, no one knows really the exact moment when someone put tomato with bread, but it was around that time. It definitely was never before that time, never before the 15th century. But it really, the first recipes don't start to appear until the 17th century, 18th century. So it was, there was something like pizza being done in Italy then. And, you know, you can imagine that immigrants from that area, from Naples, were starting to, in their bakeries, run pizza as a special for people who were maybe homesick or something like that, you know. And it's a great kind of poor man, working man's lunch, you know. I mean, it's filling and it's affordable.
Cheap.
Yeah. Exactly, and that's really where it started, you know, is kind of as an ethnic food, as a food of working class Italian Americans, and the same story is in Brazil and in Argentina as well. You know,
what is going on with Brazil?
Those are the guys who milk the the buffalo, right?
Yeah, Brazil. Well, food and athletes,
right? Mm. And bathing suits,
like they're taking over fighting
and
running.
Waxing,
I mean, Brazil is one of my favorite countries, absolute favorite countries in the world. I'm a partner in a pizzeria there called Braz Electrica. We have 9 locations. We do kind of a cross between Brazilian and Italian and American pizza. And it's, you know, it's one of my favorite places to visit. Sao Paulo is, you know, it's like twice the size of New York City. It's unbelievable how big this city is. And it's the largest Italian population outside of Italy, the largest Japanese population outside of Japan, one of the biggest Lebanese populations outside of the Middle East. And, you know, it's a very melting pot.
What's the cost of living like there?
I think it's not cheap. You know, it's a big expense. It's the New York of South America. So, it's pretty expensive. But, you know, I mean, I think maybe it's, the rent is cheaper than here. You know, it's expensive. It's always,
that's
to me, it's
shock.
Kind of surprising how expensive it is.
Yeah.
But not cheap, but a lot of poverty.
Really?
Well, there's a big gap between the wealthy and the poor there, you know. But there's incredible culture. The people are just amazing. They're
so when you put a pizza, like, let's just say you take a New Haven style pizza and you put it in front of someone. You know, I don't know, pick a country. How do they react to it? Do they like it like we do? Or are they like, oh, man, this is friggin' awesome? Or are they like, what is that?
The hell did you do? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Most of the Brazilians I've talked to don't like New York-style pizza. They don't really get it. Like, it's, you know, it's cooked at a much lower temperature. You know, it's kind of, it doesn't have any very much char on it. You know, those big slices. The cheese is not like real, like it's not like fresh mozzarella. I honestly think that, that if I took a Brazilians on a New Haven pizza tour, they would enjoy it more. It's a little closer to kind of the original Neapolitan pizza, which is, you know, the Brazilian style pizza in Sao Paulo is a little closer. It's wood fired. They have,
you're a big wood fired guy, right? You prefer that over gas?
I really, yeah, I definitely over gas. I really enjoy wood-fired pizza cooking. And when I was in Istanbul, we were using a wood-fired oven from Italy, and it was great to get back on a wood-fired oven. You know, I mean, it's just magical to start the fire in the morning and move the coals
the
around.
You smell that down the block.
Yep.
Sucks you in.
Yeah.
Might as well be the dinner bell.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, exactly. And you can do so many cool things in it. So you can roast vegetables and you can roast meats. We did a pizza with a local ingredient called cocoretch, and it's basically lamb fat wrapped in lamb intestines.
Well, it's a good name for it, then. Cocoretch.
Yeah, that's why the wretch part. Yes. Yeah. Wretch.
Right. Right. Anthony Falco is on, international pizza consultant, pizza czar.
Yes.
The knife and fork thing.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? Have you weighed in on that?
You know, I mean, I personally don't eat pizza with a knife and fork. I mean, they do tend to eat pizza with a knife and fork in Italy and in Brazil.
They milk buffaloes over there, though. So,
yeah. And, you know, I'm like, I'm not going to judge someone if they're going to eat pizza with, I mean, okay, maybe in the back of my mind, I'm judging them a little bit.
Oh, really?
But you know, I mean, I think it makes sense with Neapolitan pizza. It's a little floppy and soft and wet. So, I mean, you're not really going to picking up with your hands. The cheese is going to slide
off.
That's
why you got to fold it.
Yeah. But if you're in New Haven and you get that beautiful crispy abits, you know, you're going to pick it up with your hands. I mean, I think so. So, I mean, win in Rome, do as the Romans, you know? I mean, like...
How did that work out for them?
Seriously, they fell.
Well, they're back, baby. They're back.
The Romans, they're back.
Romans part two.
They just won a big soccer tournament.
But if you're running for mayor, you should pick up the damn pizza with your hand. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, New York, straight, yeah. Yep. What about the plastic centerpiece of the...
Oh, a little table.
A little table.
AJ, didn't you have an opinion on this?
Yeah, that's supposed you hold on to that. So what you do is you put that on the slice so you're not touching the slice with your hands with two hands. You use that to hold the pizza in place while you pull the slice away.
Have you ever heard about that?
I mean, I've seen the thing. I'm like kind of a hippie. I'm not into like the big plastic thing. You know, it's funny. When I was in Montreal, what they do, they have a big pizza scene in Montreal, Canada. So technically international. They take a little piece of dough ball and they bake it like a little golf ball. Imagine a little golf ball sized piece of dough. And then they put that in the middle. So it's like a biodegradable pizza chair thing, pizza table.
Like a dough munchkin. Yeah.
That's to keep the box from crushing it.
It's to keep the cheese from sticking to the top of the box. So it's like the pizza hops up that this thing kind of stops it.
Wouldn't the ball roll away?
They stick it in there. I don't know. I mean, I put chocks underneath. I didn't really have time to run it through the whole like gambit of testing.
We make the bottom flat. I don't know.
Yeah. That's weird.
Yeah.
It was a weird pizza scene there. Montreal's Canada's a weird place.
Yeah, I don't think of them for pizza, you know, like moose pie.
Yeah, well, the plastic thing, that little plastic centerpiece, that's to keep the pizza box from crushing it. AJ says it's to,
pull
pizza slices out without touching the other slice.
That, I don't know what that means.
You go to Canada for pizza.
I guess you could use chopsticks too. I don't know.
Okay.
Go milk a buffalo.
On my way.
All right. We didn't even get to Portland, and we got to wrap it up here. But we'll talk about that next time we come. Something he said 3 years ago. Coming back to haunt him.
Really?
And it's popped up again, and there's a bit of a controversy. You know, sometimes I step in it. You know, but. That's how it goes.
People
when you're
get
out there.
Very personal.
They're very
crazy
passionate. Yeah.
About
yeah.
And not. It's not even the people who are making it.
Oh, really? It's the fans.
It's us,
no.
The customers.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right, your
and
book.
The writers.
Right. Your book, we're linked up on the radio station website. Anthony Falco, thanks for coming on. It's Pizza Czar Recipes and Know-How from a World-Traveling Pizza Chef, and that's the one hand of his wife on the cover there.
Oh, is it really?
Awkwardly holding right. A pizza slice that was photoshopped.
Just do
well,
it.
Manicured, though. Right.
Yeah, nice fingers.
Yeah, it's photoshopped. But she still has beautiful hands, so she's the backbone of this business, and everything happens because of her. So
good man.
Just put her on the phone. She's right next to me.
All right, Anthony. Thanks
Always
for coming on.
Great talking to you guys.
We'll
really
talk to you
appreciate
soon.
The call.
All right, thank you, brother.